health care bill passes 220 to 215, in case you missed it on Saturday, very late, with the public option intact. The Dems tearing up the town, but they might have to get a grip. The Senate GOP says not so fast. We got next. 100-mile-an-hour winds racing toward Louisiana in the form of a hurricane named Ida, so it's a state of emergency. The Christmas Carol, $31 million at the box office. Are people really in the Christmas spirit already? Joe Jackson, Michael's father, wants a monthly allowance from his estate after the kind of nonsense he put his son through. Oh, my, oh, my, what a taker. And I have a take on that. That's coming up later this hour here on America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. I hope you had a fabulous weekend. We roll into a jam-packed show. First, we start with more news on Major Hassan, who slaughtered 13 people, wounded 42 others moments before he opened fire last Thursday at Fort Hood in Texas. He yelled, Allah Akbar. Terrorism or a tragic accident? The country and analysts, to be honest, are divided. How about you? Here's one medic recalling what it was like as things unfolded.
It happened really fast. Started hearing gunshots come from the building closest to me. Everyone around just started scattering, trying to take cover behind cars, trees, pretty much anything they could run to. Some people started getting in their cars. Just heard a lot of people screaming, a lot of people yelling, shooter. Everyone got on their cell phones, called 911. I mean, everyone there was scared for their own safety. But, you know, in times like that, you don't really think about what you're doing. A lot of times you just you're trained to react a certain way, and that's how you act. Honestly, I can't really tell you too much about that. She had about three or four people towards her shoulders and head, holding her up a little bit, talking to her, trying to keep her awake while I was working on exposing the leg and the wound so I could put a tourniquet around it. I just know they were, from what I could hear, they were trying to keep her awake. She was starting to fade in and out of consciousness, and I didn't really hear anything she might have said. We couldn't get him to say anything. We couldn't tell him to get him to tell us if he was breathing okay, if he was hurt anywhere else. You know, you're just trying to figure out, make sure he's got an airway, and usually you can kind of assess the patient's state of mind by what he tells you.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't tell us anything, and he looked really pale, like he was starting to go into shock. Still a little hard to you know, comprehend the fact that it happened. You know, it's just so unexpected, but, I mean, you just hang out a lot with your friends, talk with your family, and, I mean, you just push through it.
And that's what people are doing, talking with their family and their friends. And sadly, you can't do anything to bring back the people who were slaughtered, like I said. And at this point, still in my last check, 17 people still in the hospital with gunshot wounds, 9 intensive care late into Saturday, even into Sunday morning. And, of course, church services everywhere were honoring the victims. And a lot of people still shaking their heads at what happened in Fort Hood. Who could believe it, and what was the deal with Hassan? So there are all kinds of angles here. And looking back in retrospect, could anyone have stopped the major? And I think this has angered a lot of the families, because in the months leading up to that shooting spree, he raised a few eyebrows, and we talked about it on our last show heading into the weekend with some of the comments about the war on terror, that it was a war on Islam. He said that to a lot of people, and he was wrestling with demons over what to tell fellow Muslim soldiers who had their doubts about fighting in any kind of an Islamic country. So then you ask yourself, well, what is the system doing to stop somebody like this? When you see the red flags, I mean, when they're right there in your face and the guy has the access to the people that he does, and he is a psychiatrist, what is it that can be done to stop something like this from happening again? I mean, you're not going to have lockdown on all the bases, certainly we know that. And we know that in any walks of society, somebody could, quotes, go postal. But then the question becomes, what was leading up to this and things that were being posted and the FBI looking into this? And was it a question of people being very, very afraid to speak up and too politically correct for fear that they would seem like they were being anti-Muslim and that that wasn't the right thing to do. And that's what I think it looks like at first blush over all of this stuff. I mean, why wasn't he at least confronted? The military is certainly not bashful about confronting other people about a slew of other things. Just ask anybody who's gay and served in the military. Remember, don't ask, don't tell. Why do you think that came about? So he was never confronted about beliefs or told, hey, listen, you got to cut the crap, dude, and, you know, this isn't how we roll here. I mean, who's been in the military? How many guys have we had on the show, and women, who have told us about the sense of duty and what you have to do and other people having your back, and that's the way things go. Never leave a man behind. So if something is up, if something's wrong with somebody, you got to speak up, right? So he was never told he had to shape up. He was never told, forget about it. Maybe you ought to think about something else, even though your entire life has been this. And apparently he persistently complained about the anti-Muslim sentiment in the military is what he said, is what Hassan believed, and really pushed it in the, his politics into all kinds of places and made a lot of people around him question his priorities, regardless if this had happened or not. But now, because it's happened, it's taking that look back and saying, wow, so this happened, this was said, this was posted. And you think about this, he fired 100 rounds in a soldier processing center just last Thursday in Fort Hood, is now, of course, the worst mass shooting on a military facility in our country's history. So everybody's trying to get a hook into what was going on inside this guy's head. What could have happened? It was not strictly trying to get out of going to Iraq. It wasn't trying to elude the pending deployment. It was other things as well. And he was an Army psychiatrist, so he had access. Nobody was thinking, oh, this is where this could happen here. This is what could possibly happen, right? I think it was a mixture of his beliefs and not wanting to go to Iraq. In the meantime, the issue comes up, and of course it's obviously being investigated at this point, as to whether or not strictly terrorism or just somebody who went rogue. Which is it? And there are a slew of opinions across the country. The more things emerge about his religious beliefs and then jumping up and shouting Allah Akbar, the more it doesn't look good. And, of course, the Army chief is concerned for Muslim troops who have nothing to do with the radical view that he may have had. The lead general, I'm going to let you hear what he had to say on the Sunday Swirl, but General George Casey said he's concerned about the speculation about how religious was Hassan, and was it really a result of that, you know, his religious radical beliefs? Were they radical beliefs, and what kind of a backlash will we see against Muslim soldiers? I mean, this is, if nothing else, the most incredible tragedy. Sad. What a shame for that to happen. More than a shame, but what a horrible thing to shatter those lives of so many of those families and so many of those people who were serving and who were going to serve. And does this cost us diversity in the military? A lot of things to talk about. Coming up next, though, we're going to talk about education with Mike Rose, who's written a book called Why School?
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Education headed all the time here on America Tonight. So who better to have on than Mike Rose? He's written a book called Why School. Just got a really good review in the New York Review of Books. Just here's one quick little line from it. Rose gives a larger sense of the interplay between what happens in the classroom and the world outside of school. And as I could parrot that, how many times, probably at least five times a week, this issue comes up here on these airwaves. And Mike Rose, who teaches in the Graduate School of Education at UCLA, joins us now from our green room. He has to put that latte down, or maybe he is a black coffee kind of guy. I shouldn't assume. Hey, Mike, thanks for jumping on with us.
Thank you, Kate. It's nice to be here.
Okay, so the book Why School, let's talk about that. The title is certainly perfect for what you discuss in the book, but for the audience, what set you on this journey? What were you trying to portray in the book? What was the ultimate goal of the book?
Right. Well, you know, Kate, I've taught for almost 40 years now, and everything from kindergarten to adult literacy programs to community college tutoring centers to universities, you name it. And to me, the purpose of going to school, whether it's, again, whether it's kids or adults going back to retool, there's a rich set of purposes that people do this. Now, of course, one reason is because we want to be prepared for the economy. We want to be able to get a job, and that's why parents send their kids to school. But there's a lot of other reasons, too, that we go to school and that we send our kids to school. And I fear that in our current environment, a lot of those reasons are getting pushed to the margins. The focus is so much on economic preparation, and then we test how well we're preparing kids by giving them standardized tests. And that whole mechanism, it seems to me, just pushes too much out the window. It pushes out the civic motive, you know, sending kids to school so they can become citizens. It pushes out sending kids to school so they can find something that they're taken with, find an intellectual passion. We send kids to school to learn how to solve problems with each other. We send kids to school for a whole host of reasons, and we just don't hear that kind of stuff in our policy talk.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. It's interesting you talk about standardized tests, and I find what I've seen from some kids is they're just trying to memorize answers. But then what happens is, so maybe they do pretty good on the standardized tests, or maybe they trip up on the test, and then somebody like a comedian like a Jay Leno goes to the streets. I know you've seen this, Mike, and he'll start to ask questions about, can you name two people in the cabinet, or who's the vice president, or 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, who lives there? And you're just stunned at how many people cannot answer the most basic questions. So to me, is it about reform? As somebody who's been in the system at all levels, like you said, what do you think really needs to happen in education to get us back to the process that you mentioned?
Well, I'd like to answer your question by going to the example you gave, because it's the perfect example. So when Jay goes out there into the streets and asks those questions, we get a sense that a couple things are going on with the standardized tests, even if kids are doing okay on them. One is, you and I have both had this experience, right? You can memorize all kind of stuff, and then the minute you regurgitate it on a test, it goes out of your head,
mm-hmm.
right? Because
mm-hmm.
the test doesn't encourage you to use that knowledge. It just requires you to store it away, dump it, and then get rid of it. And that takes me to the second point, which is really the big one, and that is, the purpose of education is not just to get us to cram a bunch of things into our heads, but to use what we learn, to solve problems with what we learn, to apply knowledge, to reflect on what we're doing, to use knowledge to think creatively, to go outside the box rather than inside the bubble of the test, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in thinking then about, well, what ought we be doing, I think we should be working as hard as we can to create schools and curricula, learning environments, where kids are really engaged with learning things and applying the knowledge they're learning, with reflecting on it, with puzzling things out with each other, all the kinds of things that you don't have to do if your curriculum is driven by a standardized test, at least of the kind that we tend to have.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, how about teachers? I mean, this is the thing that concerned me. Luckily, growing up, I grew up in New Jersey, and I had really good teachers that taught exactly what you're saying, kind of off the book,
mm-hmm.
off the margins, if you will. So I felt like I really got history and geometry and all that stuff. I think I had a good, solid education, but it was because of the teachers. I mean, I can even remember their names, like Mr. Mascola. But now I think a lot of people, not all, because I certainly have met some wonderful teachers, and, you know, you've done it for four decades, you know. But I think a lot of the good people are being driven away from education as well, because they don't want to march in step with what they're seeing in the classrooms. I worry about that. Do you think that's a big problem, too?
Oh, I think that's a concern for sure. You know, Of all the wealthy industrialized countries, we just don't do a very good job of paying our teachers, of elevating the profession, of giving it the status it deserves, of providing ongoing, rich professional development. I mean, when you look at a lot of the other countries that that we always worry about because they're doing better on these international tests than we are, it's really interesting to see that in every one of them, they have a much different notion of the teaching profession. It's a much more prestigious thing to do. They're reimbursed, I think, on a grander scale than we are. And I think more important even is that they have a kind of status that we don't have in this country for our teachers. And they have a ongoing sense of their own professional development that is supported by the government. So there are big differences between the way we conceive of and treat and develop our teachers and what go on in some of the other countries that we worry about in terms of these educational tests.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of things that we could talk about here in this short amount of time. We'll definitely have to have you back on again to talk about some other things with education. But one of the things the Department of Education was talking about a lot and they launched was Race to the Top.
Right.
Do you embrace this Race to the Top, or do you see some potholes along the way with this?
Well, I think both. You know, I mean, first of all, it's an exciting thing to have the federal government enter education with such a big splash, right? I mean, they're putting up some huge amount of money that they're going to dole out to the states based on various kinds of challenge grants that they're proposing, across a number of topics like teacher development. So on the plus side, I think it's just terrific that we have this kind of attention paid to education. In fact, that you and I are even having this conversation, right? And noodling over Race to the Top. So this is all the good news. What concerns me a little bit is I'm not so sure, at least everything I've read so far that the government has put out, I'm not so sure that the Race to the Top folks have learned all the lessons that needed to be learned, let's say, from the problems with No Child Left Behind. There's still a lot of emphasis on this whole testing mechanism. And you know, Kate, when I raise concerns about these high-stakes standardized tests, please don't misunderstand. I am not at all saying we should abdicate responsibility or accountability. I'm not at all saying that we shouldn't be vigilant as a democracy about our public institutions. I'm not saying that at all. But the mechanisms that we've been using, for example, the standardized tests that you and I have been talking about, there were just so many problems revealed with No Child Left Behind in the way that school districts could game those tests. You know, certain kids wouldn't take the test on certain days, or they would raise or lower the cutoff points of the test so that they would come out looking better than they were in fact doing. So we know from No Child Left Behind that particular way of approaching school reform has a lot of problems with it. And I'm just not so sure, at least to this point, that the Race to the Top folks have learned all the lessons that needed to be learned from the problems with No Child Left Behind.
Yeah, well said. Mike Rose, the book is called Why School? Reclaiming Education for All of Us. Pick it up. It's a great read. Mike, thanks so much for coming on. We'll have you on down the road again to talk about education, okay?
Oh, I would love that. Thank you, Kate.
All right, thank you. And again, 40 years dedicated. You got to love that. I mean, a teacher who's taught all kinds of levels from kindergarten all the way on to the older kids and older folks as well. We're bringing it back around to the tragedy at Fort Hood next on ATN.
If you always thought an emu was a large, flightless Australian bird, not much good for anything, you'd be, well, very wrong. Introducing ValleyViewEmus.com. Valley View Emus is a small, woman-owned family farm in Fenimore, Wisconsin, operated by Betty Lou Kaufman. Betty Lou assures you, life gets better when you reap the health and wellness benefits of her high-quality emu products. A full line of the highest quality emu oils, lotions, craft products, pet care, and emu meats. The health benefits of emu oil alone will amaze you. Learn more about the complete line of emu products at valleyviewemus.com. And when you're ready, go right to the online shopping cart to place your order. Valley View Emus offers a 30-day money-back guarantee on all sales. Visit valleyviewemus.com. That's Valley, VIEWEMUS.com. Or call Betty Lou toll-free at 877-436-8537. Valley View Emus, where farm to fresh means quality and care.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the 1-week Start Page Challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to startpage.com instead. Try 7 days of Start Page and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try startpage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's startpage.com.
When looking at your personal preparedness level, remember the freeze-dry guy. During times of physical and emotional stress like the uncertain times we live in today, it is vital that you not alter your diet too much. You should only store what you usually eat, because one day you may have to eat only what you have stored. Lucky for you, there's the freeze-dry guy. Featuring the superior nutrition and taste you've come to expect, the freeze-dry guy has a wide variety of choices in freeze-dried foods. All freeze-dried foods are no-cook products, requiring only hot water and a few minutes of your time. The freeze-dry guy has been serving various government agencies as well as the private sector with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. Consider the technological advances made in computers from the punch card days of the 60s and 70s to the high-speed personal computers of today. Comparably, the advances made in food storage from the World War II era till now are equally great. Visit the website at www.freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663.
In case you missed some of the things that are happening here and there and everywhere in between. And we're going to head off to the mailbag. So trust me, we read all of the mail. You could shoot me your thoughts at americatonight.net, americatonight.net. Or you can always jingle the digits 800-259-5791. Let's say what the headlines are. The first one, the big one. Over the weekend, Saturday night, very late, the House bill passed. It narrowly passed, but it did pass. Supposedly 60% of Americans are for this version of health care reform, either the House or the Senate or a combination of both of them. And what I would say is you really need to read between the lines to figure out if this is what you're really, really hoping for. It's going to be a big fight in the Senate. We'll see if it passes in the Senate. If it does, then, of course, it will be signed. A health care reform bill would be signed by the president into law. But Harry Reid, as much as he wants to see something pass, is saying they're not even set for the floor debates at this point and doesn't think anything will happen before the holidays. In the meantime, a couple of other big things. In Philadelphia, besides, sadly, the Phillies just losing the World Series to the New York Yankees, tough time for Philadelphians. And Dallas now beating on Sunday night the Eagles. The one silver lining would probably be this. The Philadelphia transit strike ended there. In that part of the Northeast, as many of you know probably listening to me in Connecticut, New Jersey, etc., you had about 5,000 workers that stopped working. The dispute was mostly about pensions. In fact, I think really the biggest thing was about the pensions. But it really brought that city to a halt. You had subways, buses, trolleys for 6 days just dead. And so Governor Rendell, just a short while ago they were talking about this, Governor Rendell told reporters at a news conference in the lobby of a Philadelphia hotel. It's up. The strike is ended. And like I said, you had about 5,000 workers of specifically the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority that just walked off the job last Tuesday, centering around the whole pension thing. They got a deal done. The mayor pulled together a bunch of different people and other folks from the workers' local union, etc., and they say ratification vote's going to be held in about a week and a half or so. So I'm sure the people there are happy that this has ended, because the wheels don't turn too well when there's no transportation, especially in that kind of a place where so many people rely on it. I mentioned this earlier, but it's worth diving back here again. State of emergency in Louisiana. Ida is the hurricane headed in that direction on the Gulf Coast. 100-mile-an-hour winds. Will it dissipate a little bit? Of course, that's what everybody's hoping for. You know, it's that Russian roulette when it comes to hurricanes. Right now on the radar, it's not looking real good, but that can change within a day or so. If not, it'll slam into Florida, etc., the panhandle, on Tuesday. Probably Tuesday morning is most likely what we're talking about. And the Fort Hood rampage, of course, lots of people over the weekend in church praying for those who lost their lives and the others who are recovering from being wounded by the Major Hassan, Malik Hassan, who opened fire on Thursday, shattering the normally calm atmosphere in Fort Hood on that base. And at this point, he's been taken off of a ventilator, has not been charged yet. Well, most likely this is a military deal. They're trying to rule out that anyone else was involved. It doesn't seem that way at this point. And then tried to piece together what was the motivation, because that's always the question. It's the question that all of us want to know, the why. Why did this happen? You have Senator Joe Lieberman, who says there's going to be a congressional investigation to determine whether it constitutes a terrorist attack or not, the shootings. He's the chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, so that makes sense. He's also saying they're going to find out whether the Army missed any warning signs that Major Hassan was becoming extreme, because now the people around him are saying that there was a lot of anti-American rhetoric and pro-Islamic comments. In other words, saying, why are we bombing people, the people in Afghanistan, etc. So there's a lot more, I think, to be uncovered here as far as the motivation factor. And again, ultimately, what ends up happening. And sadly, it doesn't help the families of the victims, who were young and in many cases and had their lives in front of them, who are just stunned by what happened. And obviously there was no inkling for this whatsoever. Well, without further ado, a lot of you emailed me about this very subject. Let's head to the mailbox.
You have mail, mistress.
We definitely have mail. Let's go through some of it. Here's one from Jeff. Jeff says, Kate, what a crying shame that Major Hassan actually tipped his hand. If somebody had interfered, if somebody had complained, if somebody confronted him, maybe this wouldn't have happened at Fort Hood. Earlier in the show, you asked the question, did the Army drop the ball? I say yes, yes, yes. And I feel for the families who lost sons and daughters and people that they cared about on U.S. soil, on a base. It's disgusting. All right, this one from Michael T. Michael T. says, Kate, longtime listener of the show, thumbs down on health care in the House passing it. I think you're absolutely right. I was listening earlier when somebody ripped into you about that, and I think they were dead wrong. They obviously don't listen to the show. It's about common sense, and I think you're about common sense. It's not about Democrat or Republican, as you say. But just for the record, I am a lifelong liberal Democrat. And in looking at the bill, it made no sense to me, at least the majority of that bill. I'm not saying all of it, but the majority didn't. To pass that piece of crap into a law would be dangerous for us all. Thank you very much. Okay, this one from Jonathan in Austin. Jonathan says, hello, Kate. Say hi to Matt for me. I have to gloat a little bit. I didn't call in for Nail the Score, but I really thought the Cowboys were going to win this thing on the road. Usually the Eagles have their number, but it was time for some revenge. So bravo to the Dallas Cowboys, and shame on Matt for trying to suck up to the boss and saying that the Eagles would win the game. Matt, did you suck up to the boss to say that the Eagles would win the game? That's so not you.
No, not at all. I actually thought they were going to win. They had the Cowboys at home.
I did too. And you know what? History would show, statistically would show, and a lot of the same players, I mean, not if we go back years, but that it was looking pretty good for Philadelphia. And in fact, in this game, it was 2016, so let's be clear, they had chances in the game. I think they blew a couple of opportunities. I don't know that they would have won, but they could have won that game. They weren't completely out of it. And yes, bravo to the Cowboys for winning it, but usually, in fact, a lot of times with Nail the Score, you and I aren't on the same page. We usually pick a different team.
Then I think for the most part, we usually disagree on who's going to win the game.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, no sucking up going on around here.
But I thought it was funny that he said that, so I had to throw that in. All right, by the way, we're going to get back to the email here in just a second, but I wanted to mention this. Some of you might have seen it. We were talking about in the sports section earlier when we went through the NFL games and the Nail the Score game, which was the Cowboys and the Eagles. I brought up the fact that Andre Agassi has this book out called Open, and I said to Matt how I interviewed him just twice in my career, and he was very accommodating, and we talked about a couple of different things. In fact, mostly tennis, but at the one time, we talked about Brooke Shields a little bit because he had just married her when I had interviewed her. Anyway, the thing that's also interesting about the book is he admits to using meth for about a year. He was on 60 Minutes, and Katie Couric interviewed him. And she quoted Martina Navratilova saying that it was too bad that he lied and he should have been truthful about it. And she puts him right up there with Roger Clemens. And he got a little choked up. And I thought it was interesting what he said. He said, well, it's an inhibitor. We're talking about someone with a problem in anybody with that kind of a drug use that inhibits you. We're not talking about a drug enhancer, which I thought, touche, good point. We were discussing, would meth even give you an advantage? He was using it to escape from tennis, which he said at the time he hated. How about that? All right, this one from Dennis D., not to be confused with Dennis McMahon, who always emails us. He has great emails. Dennis says, Kate, I just have to say on the Hassan thing, why do we all have to be so politically correct? I heard earlier a caller talk about that and started to blast Christians and narrow-mindedness and all this kind of a crazy rant. He didn't actually make any sense because I guess that was the name of the game. But I would say you were pretty clear about Muslims versus radical Islamists. And that, I believe, was the direction Hassan was going in, and he was certainly waving that flag. So why can we not call a spade in this country? Why do we have to be so politically correct? Perhaps that is the true problem, and that's why nobody complained to the higher-ups about Hassan. That attack could have been prevented if they had stepped forward and weren't bowing down to the PC police. All right, good point. I do think that's exactly it. Bury the head in the sand. Ooh, this guy's a little off. I'm not going to say anything. Coming up on the flip side, news you can abuse, birthdays, and this day in history.
What's so crazy about not starving? To cover yourself and your family in the event of accidents or emergency, you may have home, life, auto, dental, and health insurance. But what about food insurance? Water and food are vital to human survival. So what's so crazy about not starving? Foodinsurance.com has designed emergency packs and kits with at least 2 weeks' worth of great-tasting food and clean water. Most Foodinsurance.com meals are freeze-dried, which means they'll last and retain nutritional value up to 10 years. Foodinsurance.com Meals.com meals like lasagna, beef stroganoff, and other tasty entrees are quick, delicious, simple to prepare, and start at just $199.99. The low cost is just one reason to get foodinsurance.com. Need more reasons? Foodinsurance.com kits come with a lightweight, high-quality backpack and a free utensil tool. Go to foodinsurance.com or call 1-866-9-GOT-FOOD. That's 1-866-9-GOT-FOOD. Get protected at foodinsurance.com. If you've got mold, you've got a problem. But if you have Moldzyme, you have a solution. Everyone at one time or another will encounter mold in their homes. It's unsightly and can affect your health. Moldzyme from EcoDiscoveries is the only safe and effective solution for cleaning mold and mildew and eliminating odor. Moldzyme is safe for any surface. Wood, concrete, tile, stucco, wallpaper, vinyl, or aluminum siding, painted surfaces, and more both inside and outside your home.
I use Moldzyme in my bathroom, basement, garage, and deck. Everywhere I see mold, it's magic in a bottle.
Moldzyme is non-toxic, safe for the environment, your family, pets, and plants, contains no chlorine bleach, ammonia, or nasty smell. Plus, it's easy to order. Call toll-free 866-767-2832 or go to moldzyme.com. That's 866-767-2832 or moldzyme.com. That's moldzyme.com. Use promo code RADIO for 25% off your order from Eco Discoveries. Moldzyme, now safe, has an effective side. Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grapeseed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Bloody well right to say. I always say this. Hey, if you agree or disagree with any of the stuff that we talk about on the show, it's all cool and good, right? It's about the conversation and keeping it real. So flip me an email, americatonight.net. Coming up, we have birthdays and this day in history. When I look down the list of birthdays today, who's blowing out some more candles on the cake? One of the names that I come across is rapper Scarface from Ghetto Boys, who is just shy of 40, let's say. And also a name that many of you might know, listening to me certainly in St. Louis, Baseball Hall of Famer Bob Gibson is, I'll tell you how old he is, 74 years old. And there are a few other people on the list, I think, too. One of the hot doctors from Grey's Anatomy, I forget what they call him. I think it's not McDreamy, McSteamy. I think his name's McSteamy. See, you can tell I don't watch a lot of tube. But I do know with between the commercials and everything in between, I can pick up that pop culture reference. Eric Dane is celebrating a birthday, so we'll tell you all about that. And then, of course, also we go into this day in history. And, for example, if we look back all the way back on this day in 1953, the author-poet Dylan Thomas died. He was just 39 years old. I didn't know he was that young, in New York City. And what day is this? It is Monday, November 9th, the 313th day of the year. So if you do your math real quick, there are 52 days left in this year. Shopping days before the holidays. Ooh. All right, let's get to some of the upside down news that's pretty interesting. There was a woman that actually passed her driver's test, and you say, well, so what, who cares? But after the 950th try, this was a woman in South Korea who had a struggle, to say the least, to pass the written exam for that license. She had nearly daily attempts since April 2005, finally did it on the 950th try. Wow. Anybody out there fail their driver's test over and over again? And now, the vehicle side of it, I can see that a lot of times when you're 16, get the learner's permit, you see the kids doing the school and stuff. Matt, did you fail your driver's test?
Fail it?
Silent. Did you fail? You passed right the first time, right? No failing.
Nope. I failed it.
You did?
I did, actually. It's kind of funny because I did everything everything perfect, like parallel parking, the rear docking, everything I could have done, I did perfect, except for he had me going on this, because they had like a mock course. I don't know how people take it other places, but we have this mock course that you go on, and he had me driving down a one-way street for a while, and I kind of forgot I was on a one-way street, and made me take a left-hand turn. And I didn't go all the way to the left-hand lane to do it. I did it from the middle of the lane, basically, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because I forgot I was on a one-way, so that's an automatic fail. But he's like, you'll perfectly pass it next time, when I just can't let you pass this. So
when you did that, so it was the actual doing it, the driving test, you didn't have to take the written one again, right?
No, we don't have a written test. You have to take a written test for your learner's permit, and then it's just the driver's test for your license.
Oh, okay. So you failed that. Guess what? I failed mine, too.
There you go.
Same thing. It was almost similar to your story, a one-way street situation. How weird is that? What are the odds that the two of us would work together and that would happen? And, I was so upset. I mean, it was in New Jersey, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, I felt like a failure. Like, you got to be kidding. Everything else, aces. And the guy said to me, just like yours, this is no big deal. You just take it again. And, of course, whatever it was, the waiting time a week later,
right,
17 days or whatever it was, I took it and got it.
See, I think I had to wait a week. But I was there on my 16th birthday, all prepared to get my license.
Same thing with me.
And I still remember my dad, because, you know, my dad had driven with me and knew I was a fine driver. And, you know, I'm coming out there, and he's like, all right, so where do we have to pick up your license or whatever? And I said, I didn't pass. He goes, what? I'm like, yeah, I didn't pass. And he just couldn't believe it. And I'll never forget the shock and look on his face.
Yes, and I also have a similar story, same thing. Birthday, whole deal, couldn't believe it, shock reaction, oh my. Yeah, the pressure the parents put on the kids.
I know. But my sister, on the other hand, I think she failed it like probably three or four times. But I was expected to pass on the first one.
Yeah, but at least it didn't take you 950 tries to pass the written version, so that's a good thing. Wow. So I'm sure there are other people out there that can relate to what Matt and I are talking about. All right, a couple of other things in news you can abuse. Always always people are doing stuff that you just shake your head and say, what are you thinking? And here's one of those. I don't understand the 911 emergency deal when people call up with silly, stupid things, because you're going to get nailed with the way they trace calls. A 20-year-old called 911 to complain about his missing McDonald's orange juice, and now has to pay a $300 fine because deputies in Oregon and Washington County specifically were able to nail him and say, you know what, Rabin Osman, those disputes don't qualify as a police matter. And he insisted that he had the right to police help. He was read his rights, then taken off to jail. And he pled guilty to improper use of 911. See, and that's the problem. Then you get these jokers, and then something really happens, and they got to vet out whether it's real or not and ask a zillion questions, unfortunately. This story I love from Rhode Island. The dog didn't eat one kid's homework. You know the old excuse? Apparently the cops used it as evidence. Police in Rhode Island report two 15-year-old boys skipped class one day, earlier last week, broke into a home near their high school. and stole some video game systems. The boys grabbed their backpacks, headed back to school, but the homework of one of the kids fell out of his school bag near a broken basement window that they went in. So the assignment had the kid's name on it. The cops arrested the boys at their school, recovered the stolen stuff, and the reason why is because that homework fell out. Karma, you know. You know what they say about karma. The names of the suspects, of course, weren't released because of their young age. But let that be a lesson to some of the people out there listening. Or if any kids are listening anyway, right? So, I love this story. If you lived in New York, guess what? Charmin, yeah, the toilet paper company, they'd pay you $10,000 for 6 weeks to do what? To be greeters at a public restroom in New York at Times Square. In fact, 20 public restrooms. So they're having auditions. They're using 5 Charmin ambassadors. They're supposed to entertain potty patrons over the holidays. And like I said, you work for 6 weeks, you get 10 grand. So they had all kinds of people that showed up for an audition the other day. And they say the one requirement certainly is that you really, really must enjoy going to the bathroom. How do you convince them of that? Can you imagine? All right, quickly, this day in history, I already gave you a couple of things. In 1872, fire destroyed nearly 800 buildings in Boston, one of the worst fires in that city's history. Also, sadly, in 1970, for some people anyway, former French President Charles de Gaulle died at the age of 79 years old. In 76, the UN General Assembly approved resolutions condemning apartheid in South Africa, including one characterizing the white-ruled government as illegitimate. Birthday music, please, maestro.
I need birthday singers! Come on, people, we need birthday singers!
Remember the Incredible Hulk, or at least one side of the Hulk? Lou Ferrigno is 58 years old. Actor Robert David Hall from CSI is 61. Baseball Hall of Famer Bob Gibson, like I mentioned before, 74. Baseball exec Whitey Herzog, 78. Rapa Peppa from Salt and Pepper is 40. Eric Dane, I mentioned him, 37 years old from Grey's Anatomy. Also celebrating a birthday, Nick Lachey from 98 Degrees is 36 years old. Senator Sherrod Brown, Democrat from Ohio, is 57. Happy birthday to you if this happens to be the day on which you were born. We're going to leave you with this one from Richard Avedon, the famous photographer. I think charm is the ability to be truly interested in other people.
Oh, and remember, next Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
I'm a type A personality. You know, I just can't envision myself, you know, the big straw hat and Hawaiian shirt sitting on some beach.
Right near the beach. Boy!
Yeah, baby!
Keep me son about your beloved Eagle.